fighting for America.
Washington, D.C. has never been more divided, more dysfunctional, or less productive than it's been in the last 6 years under President Barack Obama.
Fighting for Idaho.
It's currently an open season against Islam, Muslims in Washington, Muslims in the general media, dehumanizing Muslims in movies like American Sniper.
Fighting for you.
He didn't want handouts. He didn't want anyone to feel sorry for him. Ryan and Job were just grateful and gracious, just an exceptional human being. I think we should all try to emulate Ryan's faith and hard work. He's just a great guy.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And good morning. Thank you all for joining us. Blessed to be a part of your day at 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. Much more on the president's comments during his Stop the Violence Summit. But joining us now is the founder and chairman of the Common Good Foundation and Common Good Alliance, our friend Deacon Keith Fournier. Deacon Keith, good to have you with us.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you, too. God bless you.
Well, God bless you. Tell us about the state of religion today. Are we back to the Crusades?
I think we need to go back further than that to really understand it, particularly, and I'm speaking as a Christian, I think we can learn a lot from looking at the first five centuries of the church. You know, I'll give you an example. We have a number of writings from Tertullian, who was not only an early church leader, but a historian. And we have something called his apology. Now, we hear that word and we think, oh, he's apologizing. No, he was defending the faith in the midst of a hostile regime. And he wrote this apology, which was essentially a letter, and a really gutsy one, to the Roman governors, because Christians were being killed and terribly persecuted. And I'll just give you one line out of it, because I think it's so salient, so profound for our moment. He says, "You just can't exterminate us. The more you kill, the more we are. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church." Now, what we have seen, and in particular, the 21 Coptic Christian martyrs, and make no mistake, that is what they are. They shed their blood solely because they are Christians. And they were ruthlessly killed by evil men who were purporting to be acting in the name of their quote-unquote God with a small g. This is evil. It's diabolical. Now, we're seeing red martyrdom, and we've been seeing it for some time. Finally, the mainstream media is starting to report on it, because this is not the first example. We've not only got ISIS, but we've got Boko Haram. We've got all the alphabet soup examples of Al-Qaeda all over the Middle East, and now going into North Africa, and now literally just miles from Rome. And they've made it clear what their intent is. So we've got that kind of violent persecution against Christians, classical Christians. And by the way, the amazing thing is there's a certain kind of silver lining in this cloud, because what it's done is you've got people like me, a Catholic Christian, and then Orthodox Christians and Protestant and evangelical Protestant Christians beginning to realize that we need to collaborate. This is one of the reasons for example, the Stream, which I am a senior writer for. It's a wonderful new effort at collaborating and dealing with the facts, which is the reality we face. So we're facing not only red martyrdom in the Middle East, but here in the West, and you do a wonderful job exposing this, we're facing a kind of a soft persecution. It's soft in the sense that it's not yet drawing our blood, thank God, but it does draw our courage out. We must respond to it. We're being squeezed out of the public square. And the message we have to bring is not just for religious people. We are contending for the truth and for the path to freedom and human flourishing. And the Christian worldview, in fact, the Jewish Christian worldview, presents a whole understanding of the human person and marriage and family and what constitutes a truly human and just society. And that's what we are called to proclaim and to do so boldly in the face of what is a growing yet still soft persecution in the West. So I think the first five centuries can show us a lot, because what did the early Christians do? They stayed strong because they knew that was their vocation and their call, and they turned the world upside down. That's our charge.
Yet today we live in a world where decadency, deviancy is honored, sir. I mean, you fight the good fight, and yet we have people on the Today Show pumping up 50 Shades of Grey. Marriage is under fire. It's as if, you know, we've replaced what's good and wholesome and what made Christians great in that solid moral foundation, the love of Christ and living a Christ-like value is ridiculed.
That's true, and that's why I think we'd be a lot better off, and I say this regularly, I think we'd be a lot better off if we pretended every morning that we woke up in this culture and looked around and assessed it for what it is. I'm tired of hearing about post-Christian or post-modernist. We are living in a neo-pagan culture that has rejected our Christian roots. But here's the real question. What are we going to do about it? And I say it's time, and I believe you agree with me, but I think we need to hear this together as Christians. It's time to Christianize it. For example, it shouldn't surprise us that we see the complete implosion of the West because it's a moral foundation to a free society. And the only way to bring back authentic human freedom is to bring back the Christian and the Jewish influence to the West. So it's going to take probably 100 years or more, and we got a lot of work to do, but we need to get about the work. So yes, it's true, things are collapsing all around, because, you know, we all know the expression that nature abhors a vacuum, huh? There's been a complete vacuum in the West with relativism, a philosophy that says there is no truth. Now, it doesn't come out overtly and say that. It says your truth is as good as my truth, is as good as his truth or her truth, which means there is no truth. The fact of the matter is there is, and it can be known. And it's revealed in a natural moral law. And, of course, as a Christian, I believe it is fully revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And it has implications for every life. So we have to both, on the one hand, it's kind of like the imagery out of the book of Nehemiah. Hold the sword up and hold back the collapse of the walls. But on the other hand, as my dear dead mother used to say, God rest her soul, we need to get about the work of the trowel, which is rebuilding the Jewish-Christian vision that informed Western culture. And that is our work. However many days we need to be about it, that's our work, and we need to raise up the next generation because ultimately it will prevail. You see, the future is that vision. 50 Shades of Grey is just a sign of decadence. What we need is a sign of the beauty of marriage, faithful marriage between one man and one woman, open to life, formative of family, forming a truly human society. That compelling vision is what turned the world upside down in the first millennium, in the second millennium. Now it must do it in the third millennium.
Deacon Keith Fournier with us, Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Deacon Keith, editor-in-chief of Catholic Online, wrote a piece, 21 Coptic Christians Beheaded by Islamic Terrorists, Time for Action, that is featured in on the stream. Let me hit you with this. Before we get political, let's go back to ISIS, and they're always talking about the Nation of the Cross, the Crusades. These folks seemingly have been fighting these battles against us, Islam versus Christianity, while Western civilization has embraced the agrarian revolution, the industrial revolution, the technology revolution. We've kind of turned our back, and yet you have these descendants of these folks that our descendants fought in the Crusades, and I don't mean to keep bringing that up, sir, except they'd bring it up. And I know. And they keep bringing this up. What does that mean for us here in Idaho and across the country when they call us Crusaders?
Well, there's no question what they're trying to do. They're using charged language. Now, they obviously do not understand the historic facts of what happened in the Crusades because it was a defensive effort. We were dealing with crazy Islamic jihadists and defending ourselves. But I think we're better off if we simply deal with who they are rather than allow ourselves to be goaded by such charged language. And I think it's really reprehensible that those in leadership in this nation will not call these folks what they are, which is Islamic jihadists or radical Muslims or militant Muslim extremists. If you do not identify who is opposing you and opposing all you stand for, how can you ever help to hold them back? I mean, I'm old enough. I'm 60. I remember when I was a little kid in Dorchester, Massachusetts. I went to St. Matthew's School, and we were still fighting the Cold War when I was real little. I remember actually getting under the desk. We all knew what we were dealing with, atheistic Marxism, and it was a threat to the foundations of true freedom. and we called it what it was. This nonsense of not calling it what it is a huge mistake, because these folks know exactly what they're doing, and they are dedicated to it with a diabolical lunacy. And we have got to call it what it is, and then not only do we need to pray, which we do, because prayer is ultimately the only thing that's going to turn this around, but we need to act defensively and offensively to hold back slaughter. I mean, they're crucifying children. They're cutting off the heads of wonderful, you know, I don't know if you were able to read some of the testimonies, watching the video, which is reprehensible. It sickens you. But you see these men calling on Jesus. And it's moved everyone, thank God. Whether you call Francis the Pope or Bishop of Rome, which I do, I think we should all admit he's a Christian. And you could sense his pain when he called out what really happened. They cut the heads off of 21 Coptic Christians because they're Christians. And, you know, Christianity had its roots in Egypt and what we now call the Middle East and North Africa long before Islam, the Holy Family, the evangelist Mark. So what's going on right now is an effort to goat us and to use charged language to feed their propaganda machine. This is what totalitarian Islamo-fascists do. What we need to do is to stand up for what is true and what is right and what is good, identify what's going on, and then have a strategy spiritually, relationally, and then civilly and internationally to deal with it. And so will it affect us in Idaho and here in southeastern Virginia? It's already affecting us. It's already affecting us. And all I'm trying to say is we need to realize that we need a comprehensive strategy, recognizing that at root, this is a spiritual battle. It truly is. This is diabolical. And so we need, as Christians, to find a way to come together without pretending there aren't differences between us. There are. But, you know, Francis used an expression that's really profound, and I know some of my Christian friends don't like the word ecumenism, and I understand that because it's been co-opted. I mean it in the traditional sense, relationships between Christians. I mean real Christians, biblically rooted classical Christians who believe the ancient creeds. And he referred to what's going on as an ecumenism of blood. And what he said, and he's right, was as they cut our heads off and take our lives, they're not asking whether we're Protestant, Catholic, or Orthodox. They're calling us what we are, Christians. And we need to begin finding ways to call one another that, and then learning how to pray together, work together, walk together, and act together. And I'm doing everything I can do. You're doing what you can do. And one by one, we form the strongest bond, because it's a bond that is rooted in Jesus Christ. And no matter how much, that's why I love that quote from Tertullian, no matter how much they try to oppose him, they will not prevail. But we got a lot of work ahead of us. And then we need to be acting. We cannot withdraw from the culture on every front. And politics is just a subdivision of culture. We cannot withdraw. We need to stand up for authentic freedom. And we who live in the United States of America still have at least the groundwork in the brilliant document of the Declaration of Independence. It talked about inalienable rights and self-evident truths to elect leaders or to run for office ourselves. To call this nation forward and toward a new birth of freedom, as Lincoln said. This is a critical time. It's what I like to call a pregnant moment. And it's our task to bring to birth a future of freedom. You know, people have co-opted this word progressive. It's unfortunate. Because when you look at the word progress, we can play on that field. Because the future will be rooted in recognizing the dignity of every single human person from the womb to the tomb.
Deacon Keith, hold that thought, because I want to come back to your thoughts and give you some more time here. Please stand by. Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to
Dave Ramsey, weekdays at noon. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO, as we continue on. Coming up, a big announcement from Greg Pruitt. concerning the gun legislation here in the state. In addition to that, at 580 KIDO, we've got NASCAR driver Brian Scott on his prep for the Daytona 500. We've got Senator Hagedorn on guns. And from Washington, soon to be in Idaho, our great friend Byron York will join us today. But none more important than Deacon Keith Fournier, founder and chairman of the Common Good Foundation and the Common Good Alliance, editor-in-chief of Catholic Online, as we continue on talking about faith, family, and freedom. And Deacon Keith, let's get back to our response. Your thoughts on our president and his critical violence summit, or whatever he's calling it, and the challenge of dealing with the Islamic world and the Islamic influence in Christian America.
Well, thanks. It's just wonderful to be with you. I got a kick out of your commercial break. Invest in your rest. That's a great slogan, whoever came up with that one. But, you know, one of the things we need to do is to come up with our own slogans to counter this horrid barrage we're dealing with in the West. I mean, let's face it. We're in a mess. Now, I don't say that as a doom and gloomer, because I'm not. I'm a Christian, which means I'm filled with hope. I'm not naive. 60 years old. I've been beaten up, chewed up, spit out. I'm a constitutional lawyer and a writer and theologian. By the way, senior writer for The Stream. I want to make sure we get that in, Kevin. Stream.org. But our task right now is to proclaim another way and confront the horrid lies of the age. The most blatant and diabolical come from the radical jihadists who just killed 21 Coptic Christians and are engaged in diabolical evil acts all over the Middle East and in North Africa, and trying to spread throughout the world and build their caliphate. They've been very clear about what they're doing. And, you know, in terms of our president and in terms of the civil leadership of this nation, it's at an all-time low. It just is. But I don't spend a whole lot of time these days wagging my finger at that. I spend a whole lot of time doing what I can to change it. We need men and women to run for office who offer us another way, who have the courage of their convictions, and that understand that those convictions must be rooted in the American promise and in that declaration and constitution that blood has been shed over, because the American experiment is brilliant when it's tried and applied. When it's rejected, we get what we've got all around us, a collapse. The only way to rebuild it is to elect men and women who understand it, embrace it, and, by the way, are morally coherent. I personally, and I've been involved in public policy and culture work, stand at the intersection of faith and culture. I've done it for decades. And I'm tired of the nonsense of trying to separate out, quote, the social issues, the economic issues, the international issues. Just like you can't separate the body and soul in a human person, you cannot separate those issues in the body politic. They're integrated. There's a moral foundation to freedom. And fundamentally, the problem we face as a nation is a moral one. Now, when you say that, people say, oh, you're pushing your religion on me. Look, it's very clear I'm a Christian. And I'm an ordained clergyman, and I love the Lord. But that's not what I'm talking about here. I would rather that every man, woman, and child on the face of the earth come to know Jesus Christ, and that's why I spend my Sundays preaching and teaching. But I'm talking about acknowledging that there is a moral foundation that can be known by all men and women, no matter what their religious profession or lack thereof, because it's revealed by a natural moral law. And that understanding, by the way, has been the great foundation of every honest human rights movement. You know, we had Dr. Martin Luther King writing from a Birmingham jail. He was unafraid of talking this way, unafraid of it. In fact, he quoted Thomas Aquinas and the moral law in the Bible. Now, you do that today, and you're parodied, you're caricatured. We've got to do it, because ultimately people are beginning to wake up. They see the decadence. They see the collapse. And they're beginning to ask, what can we do?
Well, is it too late?
It is not too late. It's never too late. See, this is why, you know, I'm writing a doctoral dissertation right now. Pray that I get it done in moral theology. And my minors were in Christian history, because my whole life I've been fascinated by this. So I've had to plumb the depths of our history as a Christian people, going way beyond the founding of the American experiment. And as Christians, we've got a 2,000-plus year history, and we've been in much worse situations than this. And, you know, one of the other ancient manuscripts I love is called The Letter to Diognetus, and it was written to a pagan inquirer by an early Christian in the very first century of the Christian church. And he used a line I love. He said, as the soul is to the body, so are Christians to the world. As the soul is to the body, so are Christians to the world. Ultimately, we're dealing with a loss of soul in America. And as Christians in America, we can do everything we can, standing side by side with other faithful Jews, other people of goodwill, to restore that soul. So what is that soul of the American experiment? Well, we see it right in our enabling documents, but we're rejecting them. So we need men and women to run for public office who not only accept them, but are proud of it and proclaim it and offer it once again as a path toward genuine liberty. We need to contend with the counterfeits. I mean, we've got libertine nonsense masquerading as liberty. The truth of the matter is, sometimes when you make choices for what is bad and what is good and what is evil, you make mistakes. We have to be willing to say that liberty and freedom doesn't mean being able to choose anything. It means choosing what is good and what is true and what is beautiful and what is honorable. There are some things that should never be chosen because they are always and everywhere wrong. We call them, and rightly so as Christians, intrinsically evil. And we all know it. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 1, it's written on our hearts. But we all know it. We all know that, for example, if we are annoyed with our neighbor because he played loud music all night, we don't have a right to go over and take his life. Yet we're taking the life of our first neighbors in their mother's womb. We all know that we should be honoring the elderly and our seniors, but we're not doing it. We're actually pushing voluntary and involuntary euthanasia. We all know what marriage is. Yet we've allowed the propagandist to take the upper platform and make this nonsense claim. They call it now marriage equality. Now, look, we want to respect every human person, including those who have same-sex attraction and the like, but we don't change what is unchangeable. To use a 10-cent word, a philosophical word, ontologically. Marriage is between one man and one woman, intended for life, open to life, formative of family, and formative of society, the first cell of society. We all know that. So we have got a lot of work to do, and we can't just wag our finger. We have to offer another compelling alternative path, not only for this nation, but for the West. And it's critical right now because look at our friends in Africa, our Christian friends in Africa. Look at what they're suffering.
Right.
My goodness, thank God we're not shedding our blood. So do we have time? Is it too late? Absolutely not. It just means we better get to work.
And speaking of which, Deacon Keith, we need to have you back.
Well, I'd be honored. I've never been to Idaho, by the way, one of the few states I've never been to. So it's kind of intriguing.
You need to come out here and... You're our new best friend, sir. We always love the culture, and we love people of faith. So let's make sure we get you back many times.
Thank you, sir, and God bless you, and thanks for your good work.
Take care. You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. There we have Deacon Keith. We appreciate that. We needed that today, didn't we? Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
They are not religious leaders, they're terrorists.
This nonsense of not calling it what it is a huge mistake.
They no more represent Islam than any madman who kills innocents in the name of God represents Christianity.
Prayer is ultimately the only thing that's going to turn this around.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's place to talk.
580 KIDO, Kevin Miller in the morning, always, always covering the issues that matter to you. Coming up, Senator Hagedorn will join us at 7:30. Byron York, yes, that Byron York from Fox News Radio will join us. Brian Scott, plus how you can help the Idaho Humane Society. All that before 9 o'clock here on your community voice, Kevin Miller in the morning with Greg Pruitt from the Idaho Second Amendment Alliance.
Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Weren't you just here yesterday?
I can't get enough of you, brother. Yeah. I love your show.
Well, we love you and all that you do. Tell us what's going on.
Well, we have two big announcements. The first is that Representative Heather Scott, She's from District 1, is going to be the official sponsor of constitutional carry. She's a freshman legislator from up north, and she's definitely a legislator who's willing to stand up to the establishment and stand up to leadership on this issue, and we're grateful to have her on board, and she's going to be the champion for Idaho citizens in this very important issue.
Now, before that, you didn't have a sponsor?
Well, that's a long story. We did have a sponsor. We ended up changing sponsors now to her. Our other sponsor kind of wanted her to be able to take this and run with it and be the champion of it. So we switched sponsors kind of after we got stuck in committee. We did we kind of regathered and decided to go in a different route. And we think that she's going to be the best we've got, and she's great. So we want Idaho citizens to know that this is a legislator who's going to stand up for your gun rights, and we're happy to have her on board.
So what does that mean? I'm sorry to interrupt. Go ahead.
No, I just want to get the other big announcement that we've got is the National Association for Gun Rights, which is one of the big four national gun groups, is coming out today in support of House Bill 89. They're going to be sending out 36,000 phone calls and emails to Idaho citizens to put some pressure on Speaker Becky and Chairman Lurcher to move this bill forward out of committee. So we're happy to have their support and their help in this fight as well.
What does this mean for you and the cause? You've got the national group coming in. You've got a local legislator, a state legislator to do this. Does this help you get this bill to a hearing?
Yes, absolutely. We feel confident with enough pressure from the Idaho citizens, and that's why people have to be involved with this, that we'll get this bill out of committee and we'll get it rolling forward. There's a big movement going on in Idaho right now that we're seeing all across the state, where people are coming together and they're tired of, you know, the political games that our politicians keep playing, and they want to see our gun rights really move forward. They don't want to see us cowering to people and, you know, passing the lowest possible gun rights bill we can. They want to see us passing real gun rights bills for Idaho citizens. And so you're seeing this momentum and this swell of support from all across the state to move this bill out of committee, and we feel confident we're going to get it there.
Now, what will Representative Scott do?
Well, she's going to start working. We'll be helping her find co-sponsors to also stand behind her and have her back in doing this. And then she's going to start, talking to the chairman and letting him know that, hey, this is what the Idaho citizens want. Whether he thinks it's the best idea or not, there are tens of thousands of Idaho citizens that want to see this go forward. And so she's going to be working with him to convince him that, hey, this is the right thing to do, and the wrong thing to do is to continue doing what they're doing, which is holding that bill in committee.
Do you believe with the additional support of Representative Scott, of this national group, which you'll have to repeat again for us here at 580KIDO, that this will be enough to get you into to a hearing?
Yes, yes, yes. We feel confident we're going to make it happen. The group was the National Association for Gun Rights. We also have the backing of the Gun Owners of America. So we've got two of the big four groups backing our legislation, and we're excited to have them on board. And with that, you know, that's a lot of pressure. That's a lot of Idaho citizens who will not be happy if they decide to sit on the sidelines and not let the bill go forward. So we feel confident we'll be able to get it out of committee.
Greg, we always appreciate it. Thank you very much. Anything else that you'd like to share with us today?
Yeah, real quick. There's a common misconception, you might hear about it today, that we didn't think about the unintended consequences of our bill. And what people are generally referring to is, well, what if this state drops us from reciprocity because we have constitutional carry? We thought about that long and hard, but we are not going to let other states dictate the terms of our gun rights here in the state of Idaho. So, you know, if Washington or Nevada or some other state says, oh, if you do that, we're not going to have reciprocity with you. Sorry, but that's not a reason not to restore gun rights in the state of Idaho. We do not let other states dictate the terms of what we do here in the state of Idaho.
Let me hit you with this here at 580KIDO. You sent me a Facebook message. There's another bill that's going to double the fees on concealed carry.
Yes, and it's on the, you know, your original permit application. The Sheriff's Association is seeking to double the fee from $20 to $40. And their excuse was, well, you know, we haven't doubled the fee in over 20, or we haven't increased the fee in over 20 years. So it's time to increase the fee, apparently, according to them. So, yeah, on top of them trying to squash constitutional carry, now they're going to double the taxes that the Idaho citizens have to pay in order to defend their lives.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, good luck with that, and please keep us informed.
Will do. Thank you, Kevin.
Greg, thank you. Our great friend Greg Pruitt with us, Kevin Miller in the morning. So now constitutional carry has a sponsor in the House. That's House Bill 89. Senator Hagedorn will give us his thoughts on his bill in the Senate coming up. That'll be at 7:30. Byron York will join us coming up at 7:05. Talk about his trip to Idaho for the Ada County Republican dinner. That'll be coming up as well. We've got a lot to do this morning, plus the president on ISIS. We're in honor of Greg Pruitt. We're locked and loaded here. Time for traffic now. You're listening
to Treasure Valley's exclusive home for Kevin Miller. KIDOAM.com. 580 KIDO. Idaho's place to talk.
And we are not at war with Islam. We are at war with people who have perverted Islam. Now, just as those of us outside Muslim communities need to reject the terrorist narrative that the West and Islam are in conflict, or modern life and Islam are in conflict, I also believe that Muslim communities have a responsibility as well. Al-Qaeda and ISIL do draw selectively from the Islamic texts. They do depend upon the misperception around the world that they speak in some fashion for people of the Muslim faith, that Islam is somehow inherently violent, that there is some sort of clash of civilizations. Of course, the terrorists do not speak for over a billion Muslims who reject their hateful ideology. They no more represent Islam than any madman who kills innocents in the name of God represents Christianity or Judaism or Buddhism or Hinduism. No religion is responsible for terrorism. People are responsible for violence and terrorism.
That's right. The president from his big terrorism summit. By the way, if you get a chance to check that out, you can go to Kevin Miller Facebook. And there's just the president seems to be very Islamic focused on this summit, and basically saying that no one should be profiled or put under the suspicion simply because of their faith. And yet you have people yelling, Allah Akbar, death to America, the nation of the cross. And the president doesn't address the death of the Christians. Here's more.
I'm thinking of a little girl named Sabrina who last month sent me a Valentine's Day card in the shape of a heart. It was the first Valentine I got. I got it from Sabrina before Malia and Sasha and Michelle gave me one. So she's 11 years old. She's in the fifth grade. She's a young Muslim American. And she said in her Valentine, I enjoy being an American. And when she grows up, she wants to be an engineer or a basketball player, which are good choices. But she wrote, I am worried about people hating Muslims. If some Muslims do bad things, that doesn't mean all of them do. And she asked, please tell everyone that we are good people and we're just like everyone else. Now, those are the words and the wisdom of a little girl growing up here in America, just like my daughters are growing up here in America.
Well, it is different, though, when you take a look at the Muslim faith versus the faiths here in the country. I think we're very tolerant of faith. America was founded on the freedom of religion. However, when you go to parts of Detroit and other places and you're a Christian and you're beat up and you're persecuted, those stories of intolerance are not reported by the press. Here we have 21 Coptic Christians killed, beheaded, ISIS calls us out for being Christians, and yet the president doesn't talk about Christianity, the most prevalent religion in this country. The president seems ashamed to talk about Christianity. There are millions, if not billions, of Christians waiting for the United States to do the right thing. And the president shows you where his heart is. 6:58, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Let's get you to work safely and on time. Coming up next, Byron York, 580 KIDO. Keep it here.